It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Fade the Chalk podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, D-Bro, and with me, as always, my co-host, Adam Pfeiffer. And we have reached the pinnacle, people. The last week of waivers for most of your leagues. Adam, I mean, long journey, my friend. We've come to the end.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, there's always a sweat when you're playing, you know, fantasy sports and, you know, DFS, season long, whatever. But especially when you get in the championship and playoffs for season long, it's win or go home. But especially this year, because I feel like every day the last 2 weeks, you get a notification from Schefter or whoever, and it's like, is somebody else on the COVID list? And that makes waivers even more crucial than, you know, ever. And that'll continue even into week 17. So there are still a handful of players to talk about. But yeah, man, it's been a fun season. Week 16 was pretty fun, I will say. And it's always fun when Buffalo goes into Foxborough and just... It just dominates New England. So, but no, in all seriousness, though, hopefully you and everyone had a great holiday as well. And it'll be an interesting championship week here in Fantasy Week 17.
It's going to be wild, man. Every single week between injuries and COVID and all these different things, it's been a wild season, and I don't think it's going to slow down this week, man. So good luck to everybody in your fantasy championships. Again, before we get to these waiver wire ads, got to remind everybody out there listening to the show, you have got to get signed up for the FTN Daily Lineup Optimizer Package today, starting at $49 a month, all four sports. You're getting roster percentages, one low price. Build your bankroll with FTN Daily Lineup Optimizer Package today. Use the code FTNTV for 15% off of every single month. Adam, what is the first name on the list here as we pull this up, man?
So there's it's so funny how everything works in fantasy, but there was so much hype around Trey Lance the entire offseason. You know, San Francisco trades up to select him in the draft. He's the quarterback not only of the future, but, you know, potentially this season. And Garoppolo has been, it's funny because Garoppolo was really bad on Thursday, but prior to that game, he'd been really good, like quietly very good. And now we get this report on Monday that he suffered a UCL tear and fracture in his right thumb, which we've seen, you know, a similar injury to Russell Wilson, who missed a lot of time. So it sounds like Garoppolo is going to try to play through it, but we're going to see Lance take a lot of first team reps in practice this week, and there's a very good chance he starts at quarterback. And look, obviously, if you have, you know, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Kyler, Joe Burrow, you know, there's still a handful of Dak Prescott, like, you probably aren't looking at Trey Lance, but there's a lot of teams that made the championship game starting, you know, Russell Wilson has been underwhelming, or streaming Tua Tagovailoa or Derek Carr, a lot of the quarterbacks that have been in that streaming radar this season. So Trey Lance is an immediate upgrade over quarterbacks in that range pretty easily. We saw a second half of a game back in, I believe it was week 4, and then he started week 5 against Arizona. So in that week's 4 and 5. And again, this is also, keep in mind, not playing an entire first half of a game. Trey Lance, during that span, 0.59 fantasy points per dropback, ninth best mark in the league during that span. We saw the immense rushing upside. He ran for 130 yards in, what would that be, 6 quarters, 24 rushing attempts. Like, that first start against, I believe it was Arizona, it's just like the floor was so high, because whatever he did as a passer was a bonus, because he was just everything. There were so many design runs. He ran the ball 15 times in that game. Or sorry, ran the ball 16 times in that game for 89 yards. So against Houston, a team with a very high implied total for San Francisco, Deebo Samuel playing at an all-pro level, Ayuk's playing much better. You still have George Kittle, so the pass catchers are incredible. Yeah, I mean, Trey Lance, assuming Garoppolo gets ruled out, I'm assuming he'll be inside the top 10 for most rankings at quarterback this week. And oh, by the way, he will be maybe the most chalky play of the entire year in DFS this week.
He's going to be popular, man. I mean, I don't disagree with any of your points. I'm going to sum this up and tie a bow on top of it and just tell you, Trey Lance plays Houston.
Hey, man.
He plays
Justin Herbert Houston. Didn't look too hot.
I mean, everybody's due for a down game, baby. Justin Herbert's been playing ball in all freaking year. That's a good point.
Like, I was talking to somebody about this yesterday, and it's like, these really amazing quarterbacks, they are A, going to, and B, allowed to have a bad game. Every quarterback this year, Mahomes had multiple bad games. Josh Allen's had a couple.
Mahomes has had basically a bad season by his standards.
Right, and he's still been really good if you look at the numbers. Yep. Prescott had a bad stretch. We've seen Brady had two awful games. He got shut out in a game. Herbert's been bad a couple. Like, it'll happen. It's okay. Like, it's fine.
Exactly, man. So, I mean, I'm not taking anything away from 1 week sample. I'm just going to say that Trey Lance plays Houston. That's it. That's all you need to know. Like, he's going to end up with enough equity on his legs, like that it doesn't matter what he does through the air, that he's probably going to be a QB1. We've seen it time and time and time again. I don't care if it's freaking Tim Tebow running out there playing the Texans. He's probably going to get enough equity on his legs. So, Trey Lance, yeah, he's a top 12 quarterback this week. Lock, set, and forget it, dude. Moving out of that game and over into the running back position, we got a lot of players on this list, Adam, as far as the running back position for this week. A lot of interesting names and ways that you can go. With the news of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, maybe he doesn't play this week. We still got to see what, you know, how that all shakes out. I'm going to lean that he does not play this week. And considering that, yes, Darrell Williams is probably rostered in most leagues. So I'm not bringing his name up here. But Derek Gore is a name that we got to sit here and monitor. And if you're out there, is it a guy that I'm saying go run and start him? No, I'm not telling you that. But what I am going to say is you have Jerry McKinnon on IR. You have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who's probably not going to play. You got Darrell Williams and freaking Derek Gore back there. All we have to have is legit. Darrell Williams goes on the COVID list. Something else pops up during the middle of the week. And this is Derek Gore's backfield, dude. And so, I think considering at this point of the season, how many times have we seen players get ruled out on a Friday, get ruled out on a Saturday? Legit, like, Gore's even going to have a role in this backfield. So if you're in deeper leagues, he's viable. Right now, he's a stash. And if you're telling me that, like, any one of these guys walking into where we're at in the season is one step away from being the guy, the unquestioned guy in the backfield, yeah, I'm going to have interest, man. And I understand they play Cincinnati this week. It is a terrible matchup on the ground. They've allowed production through the air in the passing game. Derek Gore made the most of his opportunities last week. 15 touches for 104 total yards. Now, in some of that, there's some noise because he did get 3 targets. He did a lot with them, but he only ran 4 routes. So really, you're looking at, like, we've seen the Darrell Williams show. It's not impressive. I'm not going to tell you that Kansas City doesn't involve Gore more in this game, but tough matchup. I think Gore is a really good high-end stash right now for this point of the season, and if anything happens to Darrell Williams in this week, then, dude, Derek Gore is going to be a smash play. Like, he'll be a top 15 running back this week.
Yeah, and, like, Darrell Williams, I think he's still out there in a decent amount of leagues, so make sure you check, obviously. And you brought up a great point. Like, Cincinnati's been very good in terms of yards per carry and everything on the ground, but they are allowing the season 6.7 receptions per game to opposing running backs. That's the fourth most in the NFL. 8.5 targets per game to the position is the second most in the NFL. So it's a good spot for Darrell Williams, who, if you look at his splits this year in 5 games without CEH, 14 rushing attempts per game, but 5.5 targets, 4.8 receptions, and 45 receiving yards per game. So he has a range of outcomes to catch 6-7 balls very easily. And then, like you said, who knows what's going to happen, you know, by Friday, Saturday, if there's still an outside chance that Derek Gore is the starting running back for the Kansas City Chiefs. And yeah, like I just mentioned how I don't think he'll be as involved as Darrell Williams would have been, but despite how bad the matchup is on the ground, this Chiefs offensive line, like, they've been running the football pretty well over the last month. I mean, Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith, their two rookie offensive linemen, have been unbelievable. Like, they are very good up front. So, yeah, that's a very interesting situation to keep track of over the week. But, you know, whoever the starting running back is for the Chiefs come Sunday will be, a borderline top 15 running back, I would agree.
And then we have a bunch of other names on this list, man, and some more cut and dry situations here. Like with Boston Scott, he had fallen way down the depth chart. He was actually behind, if you look at as recently as last week, he was behind Kenny Gainwell. Like, all of his snaps came on special teams. Now we have Miles Sanders, who's out. Jordan Howard is also dealing with some issues. And you got Boston Scott, who's, I mean, this could be literally Boston Scott and Kenny Gainwell, and Boston Scott getting all the early down work, also spelling in for the passing game. Last week, I mean, look, played 32% of the snaps. That's going to go up. He got 12 touches on the ground, only ran 5 routes. And I understand that Washington has been very good against opposing running backs. They are been a pass funnel. They're going to continue to be a pass funnel. But this Eagles offensive line is top 5 in yards before contact per attempt. They've been blocking extremely well. We know that Philadelphia is going to continue to run the ball regardless of whoever the matchup is. So for Boston Scott, I mean, Adam, he's going to get 15 to 18 touches. He's going to get work in the passing game. And I think that he's going to be the preferred red zone back over Kenny Gainwell in a lot of different aspects, like especially on early downs. Yeah, I mean, Boston Scott, pick him up. If he's out there, go ahead and get him. And this is also to say, like, if Kenny Gainwell was out there, go ahead and get him. You could look at him as the Derek Gore plus version. We know Gainwell is going to have a role in this backfield this week. And if anything happens to Scott, he's going to be the unquestioned number one.
I mean, similar to what I said about the Chiefs, but like in a larger way, the Eagles can run on anybody. They're the best rushing attack in the NFL right now. We've talked about this for like 10 weeks, but you look at our advanced offensive line numbers over at FTN Fantasy, they have been number one in yards before contact per attempt for the entire season almost. Like, Lane Johnson, Kelsey, this unit is just, it's just, there's so many running lanes. So yes, Washington's been better against the run. I don't care. Like, I think there was a stretch. I don't think they got there on Sunday, but they've rushed for at least 175 yards in like 6 of their last 7 games. Like, they're just ridiculous. So yeah, Boston Scott, you know, Howard, if he plays, it makes things a little bit less intriguing, but, we know this team wants to run the football. They've been, you know, the most run heavy offense over the last, you know, 2 months. So there's definitely a lot to like there with Miles Sanders out this week. They've just been super impressive for the last, you know, 2 months running the football. They can run on anybody.
Yeah, I don't disagree, man. And then before I kick this back over to you, this is the dumpster fire, like, gonna get volume and probably be ranked as a top 36 running back, maybe sneaks into the top 24 just based off of the volume that he's gonna get. Oh, this hurts, Adam. Dare Ogunbowale, look, he's out there. You got to pick him up. I mean, for a guy that got 19 touches last week, 72 total yards, he played 82% of the snaps and ran a route on 69.7% of dropbacks. As gross as this team is, and I understand they're not putting up a lot of points, I understand all these different things. What we care about in fantasy is volume, and Dare is going to get it. The Patriots, they have shown that you can run on them, and a lot of different instances, they allow you to run. They're just going to say, okay, fine, you can run on us, we don't care, we're going to shut you down in the passing game, and we're going to be staunch in the red zone. So does that hurt his touchdown upside? Yes. Does that cap his yardage upside or his volume, and he's going to get the opportunities and be the goal line back? Those are all still firmly in play, man. So as gross as this sounds, I mean, Ogunbowale is going to be a top 24 to 36 running back, and he's going to be viable, especially flex worthy. And hell, if he gets in the end zone, man, he could be an RB2 this week.
Look, dude, like, with everything going on with the COVID list and everything, players landing on the COVID list every day, like, we can't really shake our heads at anybody that's getting touches. Nope. It's just, you never know if somebody, a key player of on your team, look at last week, teams lost Austin Ekeler and Dalvin Cook. And I wasn't COVID, but Leonard Fournette got hurt. Like, it's just, you, and yeah, the volume, the opportunity is there. James Robinson, that hurt. That, seeing him get carted off in tears, like, that sucked. But he's obviously out for the season now. Carlos Hyde's on IR, so there's really nobody else left. And this team has no downfield passing game. So, like, I think he ran like 34 routes on Sunday. Lawrence is not taking shots in the field. And if Jacksonville scores any touchdowns in this game, it's not going to be Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence hasn't scored a touchdown since week 8. Like, like, what is happening in Jacksonville? Like, it's not even the fact that, like, the entire storyline of the coaching and stuff, but, like, Trevor Lawrence has been awful. So, yeah, I mean, 19 touches, like you said, it's just we're at that point of the season where anybody with a pulse needs to be considered. And that ties me right into Rex Burkhead. Like, didn't expect him to have two touchdowns and be one
God,
of the best.
God, this is so gross, dude.
It's crazy. It's honestly crazy. Now, Burkhead is interesting because he's been the 1-1A in this backfield for the last, you know, since like the last couple weeks. But David Johnson was inactive on Sunday with a quad injury. I'm not saying he's like Johnson's been the pass catching back for this team all year. Burkhead has a decent matchup against San Francisco. It's not anything special, but another thing is like the Texans were ahead against the Chargers the entire game. Do I expect the Texans to be ahead again like that? Probably not. But again, it's just opportunity. It's volume. He actually ran really well, too. So if you're desperate, same kind of situation with Dare, you know, Burkhead on a team that really doesn't have anybody else right now. You know, it's a running back that's getting touches. It's all you can ask for at this point of the season.
It's volume, man. I mean, at the running back position, that's what we care about. We care about snaps. We care about volume. We care about opportunities. And if you're out there on the field, and Lord help me, I mean, Rex Burkhead is going to be out there. And, I mean, he's been... I wrote this up last week, and when Rex Burkhead is your lead back for a team, you know things have gone wrong. They've gone horribly wrong. They're terribly wrong. But for us in fantasy, all we care about is the volume, man. And we really buried the lead here. And I think so very effectively because we've talked about all these gross but viable running back situations. These two wide receivers you have on the list right here are two of the most interesting names for this week because they carry upside. They are in high explosive one passing offenses. And they're coming off of good games. One of these guys, multiple good games. Adam, I think that like if you're prioritizing all these different situations and stuff, if you're hurting at running back, I understand it. But if you're looking for flex plays with tangible high-end upside, these two wide receivers that you're about to mention, this is actually where I would start my waiver wire ads, man.
Yeah, I agree. Isaiah McKenzie. It turns out it was not Emmanuel Sanders that would benefit from the absences of Cole Beasley and Gabriel Davis on Sunday. It was McKenzie, who, full-time player, led Buffalo in pass routes. He ran a route on 43 of Josh Allen's 49 dropbacks. 12 targets, caught 11 of them for 125 yards and a score. And with Beasley out, McKenzie was a slot receiver, lined up in the slot 80% of the time. And the Patriots just didn't know what to do against him. He caught... let's see, 8 of those 11 receptions from the slot, 92 yards and a touchdown from the slot. And Gabriel Davis, I believe, is already out for this week because of when he tested positive. He and Beasley are both unvaccinated.
Yeah, and so Beasley both, might... they don't even have a shot. They're not even...
I think Beasley has a slight shot because he was on Tuesday, I believe, he tested positive. So, okay. But still, Isaiah McKenzie... like, Beasley's been... we know he's at underneath target for Josh Allen... but I've talked about this a lot with Buffalo. Like, McKenzie gives this offense ability to make plays after the catch. And we saw that. And we saw a lot of upside with him. And the matchup is really good. If he can remain in the slot on Sunday, he'll be a top 30-ish receiver for me because he'll face the Falcons, who we know they're a, you know, defense you can exploit. They're bottom five in pass and touchdown rate allowed at 5.3%. And they just faced the legend, Amon-Ra St. Brown, who... you know, primarily he's in the slot like 65-70% of the time. He had a really strong game against the Falcons, but just out of the slot alone in that game, 6 catches, 62 yards and a touchdown. Again, that's only out of the slot, those numbers. So it's a very good matchup for McKenzie. We know Josh Allen and this Bills offense are going to perform at home against this Falcons defense, who allow 2.5 points or over 2.5 points per drive, fourth most in the NFL. So Davis, I believe, is already going to be out. If Beasley's out as well, Isaiah McKenzie, top 30 receiver once again.
You love to see it, man. And that's we could have just said, okay, they're playing the Falcons. And we could have just stopped there. Kind of like with Trey Lance. Like, you know that the Bills are going to still be top 5 in passing rate. They're going to be top 5, top 10 in pace. I mean, all of the stars are lining up for Isaiah McKenzie just to walk in here like it's... dude, I feel like we're talking... we're talking about preseason action or we're talking about the final week of the season with all of these different names, man. I feel like that's exactly what's going on. But all of these guys are viable, man. I love McKenzie. I love the call and I love the pickup.
And by the way,
dude, Josh Palmer, I know you're about to talk about him.
I was like, literally got to say, like, more preseason potential. Now, like, it's just like,
damn right.
It's crazy.
It is insane, man. And hey, Josh Palmer, we got to put respect on that dude's name. Like, I know we're going to mention that Mike Williams is out. And Jalen Guyton, we don't know if he's going to get cleared. I mean, and honestly, that doesn't really matter to me because Palmer has the skill that we should care about, Adam. He has the ability to draw targets. Guyton has never had that. Guyton is basically the Chargers version of DeMarcus Robinson. Boys just running sprints, man. Just cardio every single week. So I love Palmer, man. I mean, I know you're going to dive into him here, but I mean, I talked about it, man. I'm going to hammer on this again. If you're starting your waiver wire ads, it needs to be McKenzie or it needs to be Palmer that are at the top two spots, man.
Yeah, Palmer led all Chargers receivers on Sunday in snaps, routes, and targets. We like that. He scored. He has the outside role, and he's playing with Justin Herbert. It's really that simple. And the Chargers this week, like, they play Denver. Not a great matchup, but, like, doesn't really matter. Like, the opportunity's there. I really don't have much to add. It's just Mike Williams has already been confirmed out. And yeah, Jalen Guyton will get a couple splash targets if he's back. But, like, like you said, he's not going to command targets like Josh Palmer. And I'm not expecting Keenan Allen, by the way, to have, what, five targets again? That was very odd to see him and Herbert struggle, but still, like, Keenan Allen, you expect to be the alpha. Eckler will be back and get targets, but there's still enough there for Josh Palmer to get six, seven targets and be a very viable wide receiver three. Like, I picked him up last minute on Sunday in the league, played him over Michael Gallup, and, like, probably make that same move this week again, I would imagine. So he'll be in that same kind of range, like wide receiver 30 to 36.
Yep. I don't disagree with you at all, man. I think that...
Who would you prefer?
Look...
Out of the two, McKenzie and...
It's McKenzie for me. It's easily McKenzie.
I will say, though, like, what if we knew for a fact Beasley was playing?
Then I would leave Palmer then, because then McKenzie's not going to have a role as long as Manny's out there.
I don't know if he's... I wonder if Buffalo... Because, like, obviously, like, McKenzie's not going to be anywhere close to the role he had last game. But, like, they've limited Beasley snaps a lot this year, whether it's been the shoulder or something else. Mm-hmm. And then I believe didn't he get fined for breaking COVID protocols? And then we have, like, conditioning could be a concern. Like, I wonder if McKenzie's still heavily involved regardless on Sunday. It wouldn't shock me, but obviously you feel safer about Palmer's role because we know Mike Williams is not playing. He popped up on Saturday. So there is legitimately no shot under the new rules that he plays.
Yeah, I mean, my whole thing about it is that, like, at this point of the season, I would not be, like, and I've always subscribed to this, like, you walk into waiver wire periods, and right now, you're not only trying to pick up players to for your team, but you're blocking your opponent for championship weeks. Mm-hmm. So, at this point, you need to be I don't give a damn who your kicker is. I don't care if it's Greg the Leg, like, vintage kicker extraordinaire, top five, like, scoring kicker of all time. It does not freaking matter. You drop your kicker, you drop your defense, because both of them are volatile and they don't freaking matter for fantasy. And what you do is you pick up as many waiver ads for this week, both for your team and to block your opponent, as you possibly can. If you have that ability in your leagues, you need to be doing it. And that this is honestly, I mean, people could say, like, okay, well, you're just hogging players or what have you. It's called gamesmanship, people. And this is how you play the game. You play to win. We all want to win and you want the championship. You're not breaking any damn rules. Drop your kicker, drop your defense, pick up both these players and one, block your opponents, but you're playing the outs here. Like, if Beasley is out, I love McKenzie. And yes, I absolutely agree with you. Like, people heading over to FTN Fantasy, looking at my ranks, like, I will have McKenzie. If Beasley is out, he's going to be a top 36 wide receiver, man. He's going to get the target share. The matchup is massively there going against Atlanta, who's been bleeding out slot production and just hell pass game production all freaking season. So yes, I absolutely agree with it. And I think you pick up both of them in a perfect world over a lot of these other running back options. and roll with it, dude. I think the ceiling is both there for both these players. And to close this out, this is a guy that I have mentioned in Dynasty articles over at FTN Fantasy for multiple different weeks because of his ascending role, and we've seen the production down the stretch, Adam. Tell me why you love Gerald Everett.
Russell Wilson loves Gerald Everett. Like, damn, since right. Wilson's been back, Everett's been like, I think, I don't know if he still leads his team in targets or not, but he's right up there. And he scored on Sunday. He now has at least 10 fantasy points in four of his last five games. The one game he didn't was that just absolute train wreck against the 49ers where he actually should have scored a touchdown. He had that, remember, he had that drop in the end zone that led to an interception. It's unlikely you see like a 8 to 10 target game from him, but he's usually in that 6 to 5 to 7 range with touchdown upside. They're facing the Lions, who are 10th worst against tight ends this season. And for whatever reason, no matter what Seattle says and Pete Carroll says and Russell Wilson says, they make you think Metcalf's going to get more involved. And then it's like last game where he has a touchdown in the opening drive, a 40-yard touchdown, and that's all he did. He had literally had a 41-yard touchdown on the opening drive, finished with two catches for 41 yards and a touchdown. And it's like Rashad Penny's crazy. Running well, so like they're going to keep running the football. But Gerald Everett, if you need a tight end help, solid matchup against Detroit. He's got a nice rapport with Russell Wilson right now. And he's always been a good player. We talked about this a lot in the offseason. Still, he's not George Kittle. Probably not, you know, maybe like more like Noah Fant, but he's a top five tight end in terms of yards after the catch ability. Like when he gets the ball, they give him a couple carries now and then. So yeah, I like Gerald Everett as the tight end to pick up, especially because like who are the streaming tight end matchups we love? Philadelphia, but all of a sudden that's not really a great spot when you look at John Bates and Ricky Seals-Jones splitting time for Washington. And then like maybe Foster Moreau's out there, but it sounds like Waller could be back this week. So there's really not, and then Cole Kmet would be the other one, I guess. But yeah, I would look to Gerald Everett first, and I'll let you talk about Everett in a second, but it stinks the timing because this is the last week of the regular season or of the playoffs for most leagues, but we might have a certain running back in Los Angeles, you know, speaking of the Rams, make his season debut this week, and you will be just absolutely, absolutely in just absolute joy.
Dude, I'm going to freak out. I'm going to have to do something like video wise or streaming or
how awesome was that whole situation, man. Too. The fact that he's made this return from this Achilles injury. And B, what the Rams did for him with the activating him, like that was awesome.
I would love nothing more than to watch Cam Akers ball out like down the stretch and in the playoffs. And win a Super Bowl. Oh my god, dude! Oh, the spider sense is tingling.
Win the Super Bowl things. MVP.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves here. But
yeah, I agree. The losing team doesn't win the Super Bowl MVP. So like, when they play Buffalo, there's no way. Man. Like.
Just setting it up and knocking it down, dude. Good lord. Yeah, unlike, I'm super happy Ian Book. Akers, though. That's rough.
Ian Book did not set anything up yesterday.
No, poor Ian Book. It's sad. He was never going to play well. I don't know if anybody's out there standing him in the streets. Got what you deserved.
Alvin Kamara, every play is just like, This just is not working. Like, I felt so bad for him. Like,
it's rough to watch. And as somebody who really cares about the Saints franchise, it's been a rough season. Sean Payton and his miracles are the only reason why this team is still somewhat close to playoff contention. And
the defense has been very good too. But yeah, I mean,
It's been rough, man. But I digress. I could get off on a 20-minute tangent talking about the Saints. Let's steer this back to Gerald Everett and let's get up out of here, dude. Gerald Everett, I love the call because he is a guy that walking into week 16, you look at since week 12, 16.5% target share. He has quietly been the tight end 8 in fantasy. Seeing the 11th most targets on the season, over that stretch. And you look at, I mean, the guy's garnering red zone looks. He's running most of the routes at a position where it's gross, man. It's disgusting. And he's got the trust of Russell Wilson. He's a guy that he's going to be. I've been ranking him inside my top 12. I'm going to keep doing it for the rest of the season because production is there, the role is there, the target share is there for him to do so, man. So I love the call for Gerald Everett. And a guy we talked about for best ball, we talked about him before the season. I hate that it's taken this long into the season for Seattle to finally, you know, feature him or give him a deserved role. But, I mean, we're seeing it now, and for championship week, it's all that matters, dude. So before we get up out of here, got to mention two amazing sponsors, partners of this show and FTN that have been out there. And if you've been meeting me in the battleground, you already know, people. Head over to Top Prop Fantasy right now. Pick up these head-to-heads I'm putting out there, man, as well as all of our other content creators. I know Freeman's been crushing it over there, and this is unlike any other DFS platform. So instead of playing against thousands of people, it's one-on-one matchups. You're literally just simply picking any player to score more fantasy points than the other player. That is it. So head to topprofantasy.com right now. Use the code FTN50. Get signed up. Meet me in the battleground, man, as well as Profit Exchange. This is coming to New Jersey, peer-to-peer betting exchange, giving price-sensitive users the ability to get the best odds and prices in sports betting. Set a line or price for others to bet on, or place a bet on an existing line. Right now, Profit Exchange is running a promotion called Exchange the Love. With this, they are going to increase the go-live deposit match by $25 for every 500 people that pre-register before launch. Again, head to profitexchange.com, P-R-O-P-H-E-T, exchange.com, 21 and over, present in New Jersey. Terms apply. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Adam, this is it, man. Final waiver wire episode of the year. Good luck to everybody in your fab bids and to take home those titles. For Adam and I, for Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at APPfeiffer24, and at ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.